the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. We'll be reading again from Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 3, continuation of considering the first principles of the oracles of God. And we are dealing with the last of this, which is eternal judgment. So let's read together. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of his resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we do if God permit. We are dealing with eternal judgment, and in dealing with this, we've dealt with the certain feces of judgment. I will see it in the scriptures. We've dealt with a judgment seat of Christ that has to do with believers. We've dealt with the judgment of the nations that will be executed when it comes, and the scriptures describe this as the throne of his glory. We are now dealing with white throne judgment, as we see in Revelation chapter 20. And so I will read that Revelation chapter 20 and then come back to the book of Hebrews. So let's read Revelation 20 and see the scripture we are dealing with here about the white throne judgment. 20 verse 11 and 12. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So this is the last judgment after the millennial reign of Christ. It's an important judgment. I want to take time to look at this. We started looking at it since last week, but we felt that we must dig around this issue. We must look at other scriptures that will prepare for us for the outcome of this judgment. Last week we said to you, from Hebrews chapter 6, that the hope is set before us, promises are to be inherited. We also explained the word oath that we find in Hebrews chapter 6. We also explained the issue of Jesus being our forerunner who has entered into the most holy place for us and is the place we are to go. That our faith is progressive, it's a journey from glory to glory, and that we are to be changed from one level to another to enter into all that God has for us. That we are not supposed to be saved and just to sit down, and that we are not pressing in to the calling of God. And we also mentioned that if there's no pressing on and pursuing these things, there's a tendency to fall away. We want to go back to this a little bit today, because we think this is important and we must stress this a little bit. And so I want to read again from Hebrews chapter 6 and from verse 4 to verse 8, which says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and that have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth house, meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and bears is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned in the lake of fire. Please, let me remind you here, let me bring before you here that the word of God can produce different results. Rain, the analogy, the example given here, rain falls, and then it falls on good herbs, and it becomes a blessing, and it falls on thorns, and it becomes a cursing, and it's rejected. And I've seen this work out. Same people under the same word, and it's producing different results in people. Some people hear the same word, and they repent, and they turn to God. Some people hear the same word, and they become hardened, and become rebellious, and turn away from the truth. So it depends on the positioning of our hearts to the truth. The rain here is the word of God that is falling like rain when it is preached and is spoken to us. Our reaction and attitude to the word will determine what will bring forth. The same word that people will hear and repent and receive the gift of God and receive the Holy Spirit and be changed and be transformed. Some people will hear the same word and then they will become angry, rebellious, and turn away from the truth. I pray that this will not happen to us. So we see here, and then here again, what we have read is, even for those who have walked with God, I want to emphasize it's possible, very, very possible, to walk with God, to be born again, to have been enlightened. That's what we have been presented here, to be enlightened, to have tasted the word of God, to have tasted the power of the Holy Ghost, and tasted the powers of the age to come, and then for us to fall away. It is really, really, really possible. And he's saying there's a level of falling away that to renew such person, to bring them to repentance, is difficult. Why? Because the very essence, what will bring them to repentance, has been rejected. The essence of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, the fact that he died to save us from our sin, has been rejected, has been turned away, has been renounced. There's no means of turning them or bringing them to repentance. And on this issue, I want to read some scripture so that we can understand why are we doing this. Is that we may understand God's judgment. Because when we get to explain the judgment that will take place at the great white throne judgment, we can understand why God will judge the way he will judge. So it's good for us to understand. That's why we're looking at it. So I want to turn to two or three scripture to explain to us. Sometimes we're given the impression that once we are born again, that's the end of it. Doesn't matter what you do, you always get there. You always make it. It's not true in the light of the scriptures. It's possible to fall away. It's possible not to pursue what is said before us. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2, and it says from verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privilege shall come in, bringing damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. The issue here is these false teachers, they were once born again, because he said, denying the Lord that bought them. So they have experienced salvation, but they got a place in their world that they deny the Lord, they deny his blood, they deny his way, they deny his salvation, they deny the Lord that bought them. And he says, and many shall follow their pernicious way, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I was reading in the newspaper yesterday, a so-called pastor who took somebody's car and killed him in order to take his wife. It's possible that that person has once preached the gospel, has once known salvation, but something happened along the line. And so let's see again. I want to read another passage for you as we go on. It says here in verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. So we see here, this scripture is talking about people, even ministers, even leaders, who have once tasted the Lord, followed the Lord, proclaimed the gospel, but something happened, and there they are, they turn away. That's happened to them according to this scripture. Now you will see that this is why the scripture says this kind of people, they are not going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. No, they are going to face the Lord at great white throne judgment. That's where they are going to meet with him. And at this time, when he's meeting them, it is not a question of salvation for them. It's not a question of salvation for them. And then we're going to see this. This is a very sobering thought. So we can see here, you can see all this. You will see the same thing in the book of Jude. It says the same thing. Jude, verse 4. For there are certain men crept unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God unto lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we see again, and if you read the whole book, it's talking about those who have been, not only know the Lord, they have been in a position of leadership and influence, and they have influence over the people. The scripture says many shall follow their pernicious way. That's the danger therein. Somebody who has been a leader leading God's people but has turned away, fallen away, and then he now becomes a wrong influence, an evil influence, and is drawing so many people away from the Lord. And so you can see such people will be waiting for this great white throne judgment. Great white throne judgment. That's what they will be saying. We are saying so that we can look at it. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I want us to read from verse 26 to 29. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 26 to 29. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much surer punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who had trodden under foot the Son of God and had counted the blood of the covenant wherein he was sanctified and holy thing and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So we see here again, it is also talking and addressing people who have once followed the law, sanctified by his blood, but they have turned. They are now trodden under their foot the Son of God, and accounted the blood of the covenant wherein they were sanctified on holy thing. So we see here, this is further expression of what we've read in Hebrews chapter 6, of this possibility of turning away. Let's read from verse 38. In the same Hebrews chapter 10, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Because the white throne judgment is after that, somebody misses that, he goes into perdition. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So there's a pressing into the saving of the soul. We've explained what it means, the salvation of the soul here, that our salvation is progressive, the spirit man is saved, the soul is saved, and the body is to be saved. This is the prayer of Paul in Thessalonians chapter 5. So we see this is the salvation, the progressive nature of our salvation, to be born again into spirit, to be saved as we follow God, as we take in the engrafted word that is able to save the soul, as we follow him as the lamb, as we follow him as our shepherd, as our Lord, the soul is saved. He restored my soul. And then eventually we are waiting also for the redemption of our body. So this is the point we are making. Somebody can stop on the way. Somebody may choose to backslide. There are many issues in life, but God is giving us life so that we will not follow. Like Paul says, we are not of them. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. To the end, until we enter into that place which the Lord himself has gone ahead for us. So we see here the need to move on, the need to press in, the need to follow to the end. This is the point we are just making, and so that we can see this reality and trust God to order our lives and to order ourselves in order to follow him. I ask that the Lord will bless us as the word is coming to us. I ask that the word that we are bringing will be a blessing to you. Now, we want to go back to this revelation. I haven't explained this. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 20. And then we want to read more and look at this as we follow on. So, read again from Revelation chapter 20. I want to begin to read from verse 4. And it says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness for Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second day hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years expire, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nation which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." So we see here what the scripture is saying is that after the 1,000 year reign of Christ, those who have entered, have entered, and they have entered into the first resurrection. We have shared this, what is a first resurrection here. We have explained all this to us in the other messages. So we know the first resurrection is for those who have followed the Lamb whithersoever he goes. It's for those that the scriptures say who have crucified the flesh, those who are Christ at his coming. This is the first resurrection. And the scripture shows that those who do not have this part in the first resurrection, of course, will not be part of the 1,000 year reign of Christ. That means that's the time that those who face the judgment seat of Christ and did not make it, that's the time they will go into what the scripture calls outer darkness. In other words, they are not going to be resurrected. I'm talking of believers now. So they will still be in that state for the 1,000 year reign of Christ. So that's outer darkness. They will not be in the limelight with Christ when it will be reigning for this 1,000 years. That's the outer darkness. And then from the scripture we have read, it says, "Blessed are the people who are part in this first resurrection. On such the second death has no power." It then means this, that those who did not enter, those who are in the outer darkness, the second death has a possibility. They have a chance of facing the second death. And that's what we see here in verse 6. It says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, let's go to verse 14 of the same Revelation 20. It says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. So, we see here what the scripture is saying, that if you do not have part in the first resurrection, that's why it says, "Blessed are those who have part in the first resurrection," because they are not going to face that possibility anymore. But if you don't, then the possibility is there. And that explains why, that at this great white throne judgment, the book of life, is there other books were open, and the book of life was open. It's to revisit the issue of their salvation. It's to revisit the issue of their salvation. Okay? So that's why we do not say, "Once saved, always saved." What you do is important. And I would like to read some scriptures to you that will show you that the fact that a person is born again, his name is written in the book of life, does not mean that name cannot be removed. So let's look at this in the scriptures, and then we will see this together. So turn with me again to Revelation chapter 3, and I want to read verse 5. It says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." So he who overcomes, what happened? The saying shall be clothed with white raiment. We have explained what this is all about. We say this is the covering of Christ, the righteousness of Christ that prepares us to be part of his bride. This is the covering of the soul, when the soul is being renewed, is being transformed and changed. "And I will not blot his name out of the book." Now, conversely, it means if you do not overcome, yet the possibility of the name being taken away from the book of life is there. So I think we can see that. But let's go to Revelation 22, verse 19, and we'll see the same thing being expressed there. Revelation 22, verse 19, as they say, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part after the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." So we see here the scripture also is saying that the fact that your name has been written in the book of life when you got born again is not a guarantee that it cannot be removed. He's saying here the same thing we've read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. We're also reading here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 19. And we have explained the reason why this can happen. But the consequences of this will be faced at the great white throne judgment. That's when you will know your fate. So that's the point. That's why that book again was opened in that place. So because God is refusing the issue of the salvation, because at that time, yes, you will say to the Lord, I was born again. But the Lord will say, but I can't find your name here anymore. Your name is not here. And then you will say, oh, but my name is supposed to be. And the Lord will say, but I've promised that if you do not follow, if you do not do this, if you do not overcome, there's a possibility of removing your name from the book of life. And the scriptures say, when your name is not found in the book of life, then that's second death. Second death comes in. The possibility of second death comes in. Now, I also want us to go to Exodus 32. Right there, even from the Old Testament, I want to read from verse 32 to 33. And this is what it says. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. It was Moses saying this to God. In verse 33, and the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. So we see there also the same truth being established. You will also see this also the same thing in Psalm 69, verse 28. Let me read also Psalm 69 and verse 28. You will see the same thing being expressed so that we can lay hold on the word of God, so that these things can circumcise our heart and give us holy fear of God, so that we will not throw away the opportunity we have to press in. Psalm 69 and verse 28 says this, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. So it's possible that the name can be taken away. And once this is done, even though you are born again, then you'll not only be sent to the outer darkness like we have seen, but again, from the outer darkness, the possibility now to face the white throne judgment. And then the possibility again, if you face the white throne judgment for your name not being found, and then to face second death. Terrible, terrible, terrible thing. That's why the scriptures we have been reading, we've been looking at that, the word Hebrews, it says, if they shall fall away, to renew then again. When he says in Hebrews chapter 6, he said, I want to read that scripture for you. For the earth, verse 7, Hebrews 6, 7 and 8. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So he's talking about people who hear the word of God, and instead of producing repentance and change and transformation, it produces the other things in them. Because the word of God will produce result. Rain will produce result one way or the other. So your reaction, my reaction to the word, to the ways of God, it's important. It will produce something. When you hear the truth of the word of God, do you reject the word? Do you castigate those who preach the truth to you? Do you turn against the word of God? Do you accuse God? Do you turn from the word of God? Do you do all this? It's a reaction. And more so for somebody to have been born again and then to get to a place where you say it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. It does matter what you do after you are born again. It does matter. Please spend time and read that Second Peter will say. He said, those who give themselves to the flesh, to the lust of the flesh, and covetousness, and so on and so forth. Those are the things that can really bring one to a place one did not desire at all. So we see this thing before us, listener, and I pray that none of us will fall into this, that none of us will refuse to be diligent and to follow through and to follow God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a more fearful thing for me now to even face him as a judge in this way. And this is why we have the word of God, so that we can lay hold, we can plead with God, we can strive to follow on and inherit the promises that is set before us and the hope that is set before us, which our forerunner Christ has gone ahead of us, expecting us to come. What this says is that you and I, we cannot live the way we like. We are not the judge. The Lord is the judge. The Lord is the judge. And he has set these judgments. Thrones of judgment, the Bible says. Thrones of judgment. different thrones of judgment. Judge the scripture here, where God is the judge of all. He will judge angels, he will judge nations, he will judge individuals, he will judge unbelievers, he will judge spirits, he will judge believers. Different levels of judgment. But we are not appointed to this. And we plead that we take advantage of the grace and the mercy of God to overcome all that is set before us. May the Lord bless you. As we continue your way, when we come next week, we'll continue to finish up this issue of the great white throne judgment. God bless you.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers, 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again, 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again, endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power.